Hello, today is Saturday, January 4th, 2020. My name is Tina Ferris. I'm here in Orlando, Florida with my father, Pat Ferris, and we are starting our interview, our StoryCorps interview now. Dad, who are your grandparents?
That's a good question. We got, what was his name? It was D.R. Ferris. And I don't recall the name of the other one.
Did you ever meet your grandparents?
No.
Okay.
They were both dead the time I was born.
On both sides?
Yeah, on both sides, yeah. Because I was late, I was 40 years old. I mean, my parents were 40 years old.
When you were born.
When I was born, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what kind of work your grandparents did?
Farming. Farming and housewife.
What about your parents? Who were your parents?
Parents were Reuben Ferris and Mary Elsie Ferris. Or Mary Elsa King was her original name. Yeah.
And what kind of work did your parents do?
Well, my father was a farmer in the beginning, and he did farm work most of his life. He owned a couple of stores, and the balance of his life, probably the last 10 or 15 years, he didn't do much of anything. So, and my mother was a teacher for a short period of time, and then again when we moved to to Lubbock from the Weatherford area in, when I was 2 years old. Was it 2 years old? Yeah, I guess it was. When I was 2 years old, after that she became a housewife for a short period of time, and then she started doing kitchen work, professional kitchen work, cooking for a boarding house and then cooking for a rest home.
What kind of store did your father have?
He had a grocery store. And, well, in the early days, the first store that he had was a drugstore in Weatherford, and which failed during the Depression. And I don't think he ever recovered from that emotionally, never recovered from it. But he accrued quite a few debts during that period of time, which he paid off all of them. He did not take bankruptcy, and that's to his credit,
wow,
for sure.
Do you know, when he was farming, do you know what he grew?
Watermelons. And he fell off a watermelon truck and broke his leg, which was not set properly, so he had a limp the rest of his life.
How old was he when he fell off the watermelon truck?
Well, it was before I was born. I would say he was probably 35 or so, I guess. Yeah.
What were their personalities like, your parents?
Father was very outgoing. He could talk to anybody about anything at any time. My mom was much more reserved. They were opposite personalities, I would say.
And what was your relationship like with them?
My relationship?
Yes.
Oh, it was great. I never had any problem whatsoever with my parents. We got along very well.
Who were you closer to?
Neither. I think I was close to both of them equally.
Are there any traditions that have been passed down through our family that you can tell me about?
No traditions that I can think of. No traditions.
So now we're going to shift over to your childhood, and can you tell me sort of where you were? I know you mentioned Lubbock, and also what it was like.
Well, starting at the age of two, of course, I don't recall very much. I think probably I can have memories dating from about 5 years old. And my childhood was a bit chaotic, I would say, because we moved around quite a bit and we were very poor. I remember we ate so much chicken because it was cheap, about 19 cents, I mean, nine cents a pound. Anyway, we ate so much chicken I never wanted to see another chicken again. But other than that, other than moving around and not, other than being very, very poor all the time, I think I had a happy childhood and always had plenty of food to eat, and I had decent clothes most of the time. So my childhood was quite good. Yeah.
Where did you get your clothes? Did somebody make them or did you buy them?
Oh, I bought them, yes. Yeah. And I think relatives probably helped us out and sent some clothes once in a while. Now I got clothes probably for Christmas presents, which, of course, a young child, that's not what they want for Christmas.
No, not really. What are some of the nice presents that you remember getting when you were a kid, things that you were happy about?
I can't remember anything in particular because the gifts were not terribly exotic, particularly back in those days. There was nothing electronic. I do remember, though, we always had a Christmas tree. It was about 4 feet tall, but we never had any lights on the Christmas tree. We did have decorations, but never had any lights, which I always wanted lights, but we couldn't afford to have lights.
And now we have lights on our Christmas tree when we have a Christmas tree. What did you do during the summers when you were off from school, when you were growing up?
You mean from the very beginning of my school career?
Yeah, starting when you were young until you got older.
I don't know. I just stayed around the house, I suppose. And I later, I never had a summer job when I was old enough to have a summer job because there was no McDonald's at that time. The summer jobs just were not available. Mm-hmm. I remember, one time we had a fireworks stand. Maybe two different years, we had a fireworks stand. And actually, I worked in the fireworks warehouse for a couple of years. But that was during fireworks season, which was around the 4th of July. But other than that, during the summer, I don't recall doing much of anything other than after my sister was married, he and her husband moved to Fort Worth. And I did, when I was 14, I did take my first major trip, so to speak, to visit them when I was 14. I spent 2 weeks down there, and that was a vacation of sorts anyway. It was a good thing to do. But the rest of the time during the summer, I didn't do much of anything. I remember finally when I was when I was in high school, I did have a job or two in construction, one of which was very short-lived, but I had another one where I spent the entire summer between my junior and senior years in high school working, digging ditches, which proved to me that I wanted an education and I did not like digging ditches.
When you went to go visit Aunt Willa in Fort Worth, how did you get there?
I rode not a Greyhound, but a Trailways bus.
So you rode down on a Trailways bus?
Mm-hmm.
What's a Trailways bus?
It's like Greyhound, except it regional. I never saw a Greyhound bus when I was a kid.
Okay.
And they're still there. They're still Trailways. I guess I still are in business.
Did you ever do any field work in the fields? I thought I remembered you saying you did some work in the fields.
Well, yeah. That's true, I did. My father did a lot of farm work, picking cotton, or not picking cotton is the wrong term, pulling bolls, because they didn't pick cotton anymore. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that, but that was not in the summer. That was during the season. And he made me come along. I was not terribly happy about coming along. And I guess when he was working on the farm in the summertime, I guess I went out and with him and hoed. He was hoeing weeds for a cotton farmer. I guess I went out there. Yeah, I did a lot of that. And I guess I can't recall anything else. I don't think there was anything other. Yeah.
What's the difference between picking cotton and pulling bolls?
Picking cotton, you pull that's a bowl, if you can imagine what a bowl, cotton bowl looks like, and the cotton is embedded in the bowl. Picking it, you take the cotton out. When you pull the bowl, you take the whole thing out and throw that in your sack, and the gin takes care of all the rest of it. Picking cotton, that was before they really had gins that were efficient.
Okay. So did you get paid for the field work too, or was it you were just helping your dad?
I was helping your dad, yeah. Helping make ends meet, which was always a struggle.
Yeah, so you felt noticeably poorer than your classmates?
Yes, for sure. I was usually probably the poorest in the class.
What was the racial makeup of your school and also of the town?
Well, the schools weren't integrated at that time, but we had whites, of course, and a lot of Hispanics. Mexicans, we call them, Hispanics. And I had some very good friends who were of Hispanic origin.
What about African Americans?
None ever in my school career.
Because of segregation?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Speaking of segregation, I remember when I left home after, maybe we're jumping ahead here, but when I left home after graduating from college in 1963, there was still Jim Crow segregation in Lubbock, and Lubbock was in West Texas, far away from the Deep South, but you had separate facilities even for drinking fountains, separate facilities for restrooms. Everything was separate. Blacks in the back of the bus, all that kind of thing. I think about that, how awful that was. It was really terrible, but that's the way it was.
When do you think that changed in Lubbock? Do you know?
Well, the Civil Rights Act of 1965 had a dramatic impact on all of that. And I think, first of all, Lubbock was, as soon as Brown versus Board of Education which was in 1954, I believe that schools were supposed to be integrated. And Lubbock integrated the school system immediately, but that did not mean that you suddenly had black classmates, because the neighborhoods were still very much segregated.
Okay. So,
with the jobs that you did have, kind of jumping back into your work life when you were a teenager, what other jobs did you have aside from your summer construction jobs?
There was nothing available. You couldn't get a job.
Okay. What, and with the money that you earned at the construction jobs, what did you do with the money?
Well, I don't know. Probably frittered it away on something. I didn't save it, for sure.
What advice would you give to your teenage self?
What advice would I give my teenage self? You know, life rolls along and you live it as best you can. In terms of changing anything in my life, I wouldn't change it. You know, the experiences, not all of which were terribly pleasant. You know, I was in poverty all the time when I was up to the teenage, in fact, until I graduated from college and got a job, but I wouldn't change that. I wouldn't change anything in my life.
What was your first job after college?
I went to work for a company called Collins Radio Company as a field engineer. And the reason I did that, primarily I had other job offers, because I, scholastically, I did very, very well in college. But I had several other job offers, but I picked Collins Radio Company. One, I heard that you can make a lot of money in overtime in the beginning. And secondly, I had an opportunity to travel overseas, which is what I really wanted to do. Which for somebody from West Texas, would have been a real treat. And it turned out that it was a real treat, and it completely changed my life.
Where was the first place that you traveled?
Well, to Thailand to work. And on the way to Thailand, I stopped in Spain, Switzerland, Italy, Rome, and then in Greece. That was on the way.
What were the things that struck you the most about the new places that you were visiting?
In Spain was, what do they call them? The cafeterias, which I had time on hand on two or three days in Spain, and I could go in there at 8 o'clock in the morning, which I did, and get a shot of brandy. I did that frequently. And other than that, I didn't like Spain too much. In fact, that's the only time that I can ever recall in all my travels all through the years of having any overt anti-American hostility. And for some reason, I was in a bar in Madrid, and this guy started attacking me, not verbally attacking me anyway, for whatever reason, in any event. But then in Switzerland, I was very charmed by Switzerland, very much so. And, of course, I was very interested anywhere I went in eating local food. And in Zurich, the national dish, as best I could tell from what I read, was fondue, cheese fondue. So I found myself a fondue restaurant, ordered the fondue, and asked the lady to bring me a beer. And said, "I'm not bringing you a beer." "You cannot drink beer with fondue. You must have wine." "Okay, bring me some wine." That was so funny. She would refuse to bring me a beer. And that was my introduction to wine. I never had any decent wine before. I had some white wine, and that was good. Rome, I barely spent several hours in Rome. I was in and out in less than 24 hours, I think, so I don't really have much of an impression of Rome.
Okay.
Greece, I found much more interesting. I like Greece very much. They have the Greek Wine Festival was in September. Greek Wine Festival was in process at that time, and for $5, it was all the wine you could drink, and also you had a carafe you can take with you as a souvenir. So, and I enjoyed that very much. Also enjoyed the Greek food very much. And other than that, on to Thailand, which the rest is history, so to speak.
How long did you live in Thailand?
15 months.
And what were you, that was working as a field engineer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What kind of living situation did you have? What sort of housing and what was your daily life like there?
Well, outside of Bangkok, of course, Bangkok was a very nice, very big city. But outside of Bangkok, the company provided houses, cooks, and all that, because living on the economy would not have been easy at all. So we had the houses, and in Bangkok, we lived in hotels.
What do you mean, living on the economy?
Yeah, eating the local food and staying in the local, I don't know if you call them hotels, whatever they were. They were de facto hotels. Anyway, that would have been very inconvenient for anybody. It would not have been a pleasant experience, and I think it would have been difficult to have survived that.
What did you think about Thailand?
No, I loved it. It was a charming place. There's a magic to Thailand that I've never found anywhere else in the world.
You've traveled quite a bit through your career.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So after Thailand, where did you go?
I went to Taiwan. Spent less than about 10 months in Taiwan.
And what did you think about Taiwan?
Well, we still had Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek was still there, and I found Taiwan to be very cold and forbidding after Thailand. And I did not like Taiwan at all.
Where was your next stop after Taiwan?
I went back to the U.S., and they sent me immediately to Canada. And I spent the better part of 2 years in Canada, in Vancouver. Well, Vancouver and points north. It was mostly points north.
And what kind of work were you doing there?
That was still field engineering work. We were installing a communication system for BC Hydro.
As in your employer was still Collins Radio?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did you think about Canada?
Well, I have to say I liked Canada a lot. I didn't necessarily like upcountry Canada too much from Vancouver, but Vancouver was a very nice city, was and still is a beautiful city. Food was very good in Vancouver. Not so much when you're out of Vancouver, but it was adequate, and there was adequate lodging available everywhere. So it was a pleasant experience, yeah, a very pleasant experience.
What was it like in rural Canada?
I don't know how to interpret that question. Rural Canada is what I called upcountry from Vancouver. I mean, it was all very civilized. What else can I say? Food and lodging was all available.
Okay, so it seemed it wasn't really wilderness. It was more just suburban type towns.
Okay, I call it suburban. Yeah. It was not wilderness, no. I never went into the wilderness. I spent a lot of time working on mountains. And sure, if you could consider that to be wilderness, but that's where the microwave sites were. They're point to point, so you had to put a lot of those on mountaintops to get the line of sight. Of course, I spent a lot of time flying on helicopters because it works through the winter, and there was lots of snow on those mountains. Lots of snow. And, oh my gosh, I'd forgotten a lot of this, but it was a very trying experience working on these mountaintops in the winter. But from time to time, I would step back when I was standing on one of the mountains and look at it, and there was snow spread everywhere, of course, and all the trees, and it was immensely beautiful. And stepping back and forgetting about the difficulties of working up there, I mean, it was breathtakingly beautiful. So from that standpoint, that was very positive.
So where did you move next after you finished? And also, what year was it when you finished living in Canada, and then where did you go?
It would have been 1967, yeah. Then I moved back to Dallas, and I worked on one additional field engineering job after I left Canada, and that was in Oregon and Washington, again working for a microwave communication system. And I was, well, during this period of time, later time, I was a field supervisor. I had a lot of field engineers working for me. And the same with this project in Oregon, Central Oregon mostly, and somewhat in Washington State. And when that was finished, then I went what they call inside, living in Dallas as a system engineer. And I stayed doing that from, I guess that was probably early 68 until May of 1969, I was there. And then in May of 69, I accepted a position as a salesman going to Korea. And for some reason, I had characteristics, I guess, that people liked. I was very reliable, very responsible, very hardworking, and it never occurred to me that I'd be a salesman. Because, you know, I was not a jokester, and I didn't have this bubbling, effervescent personality that I presume a salesman had to have, but that's not true at all. So I had one offer of a job in California, actually it was Northern California, which I turned that down because I didn't want to leave Dallas because I was becoming involved in automobile racing at the time, and I didn't want to leave that.
What was the company in Northern California?
No, it was still Collins Radio.
Oh, it's still Collins Radio.
Yeah, it was still Collins Radio Company. And then I had the race car accident.
You had the race car accident?
Then I had the race car accident, and this was in February of 69, destroyed the car. And after that, I couldn't afford to go racing any longer, so I had another job offer, again going to Korea as a salesperson, so I accepted that. Went there, I spent a year and a half in Korea, the first trip, and when that time, it was until 69 until 71, a portion of 71. I was tired of Korea. I wanted to get out, so I went back, and then I spent a year or so traveling around, spending all the money I'd saved while I was in Korea.
What did you think about Korea, and why were you tired of it?
It was very primitive, based on what I was accustomed to. Very primitive. And the only salvation was that I had military privileges, so I had access to the officers' clubs and the commissary and the liquor stores and all that. Other than that, it would have been very primitive, because at that time in Korea, you could buy almost nothing. Nothing imported. So you couldn't live a Western existence in Korea. It was impossible at that time. Of course, obviously that's changed over the intervening 20 years or so after that. But the one saving grace was that I was able to travel to Japan from time to time, because it wasn't too far away, and at least go to Japan and get a great meal and stay in a great hotel and all that. But Korea was just a stop along the way as far as I'm concerned. But, I mean, you know, I learned a lot and did a very good job as a sales guy. We booked a lot of business for the company. And then I left Korea, spent a year traveling around, ran out of money, needed to go back to work.
You're traveling around where?
I traveled all over the United States. So I was called. I wanted to travel. I went everywhere.
Everywhere, like where?
I went to every state capital.
You went to every state capital in the United States?
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't go to Hawaii and Alaska, but every other state, all the contiguous states, I went to every state capital.
Was there a particular reason why you went to every state capital?
I was doing a research for a book that I was going to write, but that never transpired. I ran out of gas along the way, so I didn't. Anyway, I enjoyed the trip. All driving around all over, that was fun. That was great fun.
Yeah, that would have been fun. So, what kind of car did you have, and how were you getting around?
It was a Chevrolet Camaro. It was a Camaro.
And so you just drove from city to city?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where did you stay?
Stayed in hotels. Motels, hotels along the way. Yeah.
You just traveled by yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long did it take?
About 2 months.
Wow. How long were you spending in each city?
Not very long. Yeah. A day or so.
What were you doing with the rest of the time then, after the 2 months?
Well, I mean, it takes time to go to 48 state capitals. One day apiece, that's 48 days. That's almost 2 months right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after you were finished with your traveling around the United States, where did you go, and what year was it?
Let's see. Then I ran out of money, and I went back to Korea after that.
And what year was that?
I guess that must have been late 71 or early 72. One or two.
And that's where you met Mom?
Well, I met Mom before. She was my secretary the first trip there. And the second trip there, she wasn't working in the military compound any longer. She was working in the agent's office. But I was living in Hong Kong at that time. Went to Hong Kong was the base. But I had a lot of experience in booking business in Korea, and there was one critical program that the company needed help on, and I had the right expertise to finish that up. So I spent a lot of time in Korea.
Oh, okay. So you were living in Hong Kong and visiting Korea.
Visiting Korea, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was this still for Collins Radio?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so how long were you traveling back and forth?
Well, let's see. 73, 74, I guess. I married Mom in 73, of course. And I traveled probably another year or so after that, I guess.
That's right, because after you guys got married, she moved with you to Hong Kong?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then where did you all go after that?
After we left Hong Kong, we went back to the United States.
And then in living in Boston?
I lived in Boston for a short time, and then we moved to California and wound up in San Diego in the restaurant business.
So how long, or I guess out of all the places that you've visited, because you were in the how long were you in the restaurant business?
That's it. 3 years, I guess. Yeah.
And then you went back to what after that?
When we closed the last restaurant down, we were fortunate enough to sold the restaurant and made quite a bit of money on it. So we were able to live on that for a short period of time. And then after that, I went to work for a Boston area company. That was not satellite communication. Again, that was also point-to-point microwave.
Which company was it?
Macom. Aunt Joyce was also working for Macom. I thought that was interesting.
Was it, you were doing a sales role?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, you continued on with sales until your retirement through various companies. But I wanted to go back to, like, all the world travels that you've done. And could you, there's probably too many countries to name, but just what are the travel experiences that you've had, aside from the ones that we already talked about, that have really stuck out in your mind? Do you have any favorite places to visit or maybe most memorable travel experiences?
Well, I've had so many, and every place that I've been has been memorable. And I often say that I've never been to any place that I didn't like. I didn't like going there. I liked being there, but I never liked actually going there. One exception. India. Well, let me say that every place, you know, you hear bad things about lots of places, but every place that I visited was always much, much better than I've been led to believe by word of mouth or publicity or whatever, except India. India was worse. That's the worst place I've ever been in my life, without question.
What do you mean by worse? You mean the poverty level?
A level of poverty and just the horrible things that you saw. I mean, in train state and the train station, I rode lots of trains. You see these paraplegics crawling around, begging. I mean, there's so much of that kind of thing. And this, now, to contrast that with China, I really enjoyed visiting China, and went to India about 20 different times, probably China at least that many different times, but was an Indian that told me that this. He said, anyway, I believe it was an Indian national. One of my friends says, you know, the difference between India and China is that China is ashamed of their poverty. India is proud of their poverty. And at that time, you could see the difference between India wasn't progressing at all, and China had begin to move very much forward at that time. You know, Deng Xiaoping, it doesn't matter whether it's the cat is white or black as long as it catches mouse.
So what about your favorite places to visit? I mean, can you think of a couple?
Well, Thailand always sticks out because, like I said, it's a place, there's a magic, there was a magic associated with it. I don't know if that's still true or not, but there was a magic associated with Thailand. And I don't know, Japan, I always really enjoyed visiting Japan. Japan was a joy. And what else? I went to Nepal a couple of times, to Kathmandu, and I really liked that. It was such a contrast to India, even though there are Hindus there, and all very similar religious affiliations, but something about the Kathmandu, it was just so peaceful and so laid back that I liked it a lot. Unfortunately, though, when I went to Kathmandu for the first time, I thought I'd be able to see Mount Everest in the distance, but Mount Everest was 200 miles away. I never saw Mount Everest.
We only have a couple minutes left, so probably I should go to the last question. Thinking about your family many generations from now, and knowing that they may hear this recording, is there anything that you want to say to them, any wisdom or advice that you want to share?
I'd say the wisdom is don't look back. You live your life as it comes to you. Live it and do the best as you can and have no regrets. Because, as I said, I have no regrets about my life at all. I wouldn't change a thing, not one.
All right. Thanks, Dad.
Okay. You're welcome, my dear. It was a pleasure.